The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, I'm still recovering from my laryngitis, so please bear with me. But I've always wondered, so many people always happen to say, are you overly sensitive, overly emotional? Do you watch the news and get, you know, these strong emotions and or movies, and people just don't understand you? And sometimes you don't understand yourself. But today, I'm lucky to have the inspired empath, Davy Dawn Hamilton, and she's going to lead us through a journey that she took herself and was able to find the emotional tools and the abilities to be able to cope and understand yourself better. So excuse me once again for my voice, but I welcome Davy Dawn Hamilton. Hey, Davy.
Hi. Thank you so much, Suzanne. And being an empath, I really feel for you with your throat issues right now, especially being on the radio. But I'm so thrilled to be here and to help you to and your listeners to answer any questions that they may have about being an empath, about sensitivity, about emotion, because it's really something that I think is the world is kind of coming into a better awareness about. And so it's one of my favorite subjects.
And how did you get started? I mean, like, what led you through this journey? What started it?
Well, part of it was my own healing need to be healthy. I had worked for a long time in Washington, D.C., and I worked for a member of Congress, and I did a lot of work helping other people.
That's so draining, working for Congress.
Yes, it is. But it was an amazing learning opportunity, and I really, you know, I was filled with so much gratitude for people, and I did many, many things for the congressman. I did a lot of his environmental work, but I also helped people with having trouble with different federal agencies and veterans and military folks, and it's just lots of people from all different walks of life, and you really got the sense that it was wonderful to help people, but it was also overwhelming. And so that was kind of my first clue, that I was getting overwhelmed, and not that that job isn't overwhelming in and of itself for anyone,
right?
But I was finding myself, because I was young when I did that work, and I thought, God, you know, I'm really, really losing it here. What's going on? And so I started asking questions, and then I went through a period of depression and was diagnosed with clinical depression, and I was doing everything that I was told were the right things. So I was exercising, I was probably in the best shape of my life, and I was miserable. And I could not figure it out. And I went and I went to therapy. I took antidepressants. I did everything I was supposed to be doing. And nothing was working. And finally, I, you know, kind of hit rock bottom. And I literally fell down a flight of stairs. And I got some massage work. This was fast forward about 20 years, and I was living on the island of Maui, and I got some healing work done, and, you know, people started asking me questions that I couldn't deny, like, you know, have you been emotionally sensitive? Have you had trouble in this world? And I was like, well, yes. And I really started thinking, then this word empath came up, and I had never, ever heard of it. And so in my own, when I was researching depression, which was about 1999, was when I really started researching that. And because I was an advocate and I was, you know, in Washington and I did a lot of research for my work anyway, I put as much passion and energy into learning about depression as I had in my work. And so I learned an incredible amount at that time. And I think at that time, C. Everett Koop came out. He was the Surgeon General, U.S. Surgeon General at the time. He came out with the first ever government report on depression, because back at that time, there was very limited information. And even though the internet was with us at the time, I would go online and try to find information, and I could not find anything. So until his report came out, there was very limited information. Then there was a man named Andrew Solomon who wrote the book, The Noonday Demon. Mm. And that was, he won the, I believe it was the Pulitzer Prize or the American Book Award. I can't remember which. But that was his journey through depression. And his first statement of the book was, depression is a flaw in love. I made it no further than that in that book.
Wow.
Because I couldn't read it, because I was already experiencing it, and I thought, this is for people who have not experienced this. They need to know this. I don't need to go any further. So it was a real emotional journey, and then I got thrown downstairs. I was introduced to body workers and yoga, and I had already discovered yoga at that point. I had been doing it. That was ultimately what got me out of my depression. And so I'd been doing it since 1999. And then I discovered body work and some other healing therapies and learned about, you know, being an empath. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's me. And it was as if the skies, you know, opened up and my mind cleared. And I said, this is who I am. And it's not a disorder. It's not something that is wrong with me. It's just that I'm different.
It's a gift. I need to honor who
I am and really honor it and embrace it and be who I am and not try to be, you know, fit a square peg into a round hole, which is what I had been trying to do all my life, because that's kind of how we're taught, you know, go and be.
It seems like it's a gift.
It is a gift. It is a gift. But for much of my life, I thought it was a curse.
Yeah. And it was pretty auspicious that you were in Hawaii, where it's pretty much more spiritual than, let's say, like you were in Kansas getting body work, you know, so... I mean, nothing about Kansas, but I mean, I'm just, you know, they have just more heritage and more connections with the spirituality. What is that thing? I can't remember the name. It's Ho'oponopono. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And there's all sorts of, and that's for listeners who don't know, that is the, it's a healing tradition of healing dysfunction, primarily within families, is where it started. To listen, it's a real open tradition of listening to grievances by each other in a family, and then healing those, especially the person who feels aggrieved, and then listening to each other to figure out how we can move forward in a peaceful manner. I tell you, that's what Congress needs.
Really? Because I think the doctor, there was a doctor in Honolulu, well, I forget what hospital it was, but it was, he used this technique to close down the criminally insane ward. And they, you know, they came to terms with themselves, took responsibility,
right,
and this healing action. And like I said, that was pretty auspicious for you to be in that place, which I don't think anything's by coincidence.
Absolutely. I feel that I was absolutely destined to be there. And, you know, kind of the short story of how I made it from D.C. to Maui is that I had always wanted to travel, and I, you know, I had been doing environmental work in D.C. That's what I was doing. I was an ocean and clean water advocate and activist, and I was there through the entire Clinton administration and then half of the George Bush administration, and it got to a point where I felt like I had been doing all this work, but I didn't see nature, and I really needed to. And so it was, you know, again, optimum for me to sell my house and leave. And I went on a world journey, and then I eventually ended up in Maui. And when I was there, all these kind of things opened up spiritually for me. And I absolutely believe that's where I was supposed to be to get those messages and to be able to heal.
Well, I mean, a lot of people still, I know on your website, which you're going to be giving at the end, the information, but I did notice you have an empath quiz. We're going to be getting ready to go to break in about 2 minutes, but you do have a test, not a test, a quiz or whatever, for people, because some people still don't know what qualities embody an empath. So, maybe you can start, and right, you know, we'll finish up when we come back from break. So can you start telling, when, you know, within the next minute or so, like, what would be some of the qualities that people don't know, that how would they know they're an empath?
Sure. Well, the number one is being really emotionally sensitive. So, yes, if you watch the news and are deeply impacted by what's the stories that you see. If you constantly notice that you're the person that other people come to tell their problems to, that's another kind of signal, because you're always like an open receiver and a very compassionate listener. That's another sign. But then also, that after those things happen, you are, as I said, deeply emotionally impacted, and sometimes it can even be physically. You could be physically impacted.
Oh, well, great, Davey. We're getting ready to go to break, and when we come back, I'd like to hear some more about, I mean, people need to know this, that they can really, you know, quell some issues in their life.
Sure.
So we'll be going to break.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier? Especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness Presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, everybody. Again, thanks for bearing with me with my voice. I have Davey Dawn Hamilton, the Inspired Empath, and she, before we went to break, she was just starting out giving us a rendition of what does embody an empath, what are the characteristics and traits. So Dawn, do you mind just, you know, for the people in case joining us, go back and let's, you know, I think we went through one or two.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the first is being, just noticing that you're really emotionally sensitive, and people may have said this to you in your life, and they may have even kind of unwittingly, not made fun, but stated so. Oh, you're so sensitive. You know, what's the matter with you? And the answer is there's nothing the matter with you. it's just who you are. And then the second thing is that you may just emotional things that happen in the world, like in the news, or stories that people might tell you about their own life, they might impact you really deeply. And so you'll feel it. You'll feel like your heart is just bursting open. I was raised Catholic, so the image that always comes to me is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that heart, bleeding heart, and literally, and it's something that is you deeply, deeply feel. And then the other thing is that may even spill over into a physical sensation. I had an experience, and I've had it many, many times, and then there's an intuitive element to this, so that you might be highly intuitive. And when I was little, I had, I have a sister and two brothers, and my sister and I noticed pretty quickly that we had this kind of weird thing going on, that we could know what each other was thinking or even physically feeling. And if she got hurt, she was, you know, miles away. And I think a lot of the siblings have this. And we just kind of, at that time, we just called it sister weirdness because we didn't know what else to call it. But that's another kind of principle of empathy, is that it's not just on the emotional level. It may be, you may feel a physical manifestation.
I understand that it's pretty much genetic too, also.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, it's very, sometimes it's called highly sensitive person. Carl Jung developed that, and there's actually a decent amount of documentation on it, and he discovered that people are born with this. It's a temperament, and that about 20% of the population is HSPs, the highly sensitive person, and then there are, like you were saying, degrees within that, so low level, high level, and it all really depends. But in this country, it just has not been studied very much. Whereas back in the day, in ancient cultures, empaths would have been taken aside from a very young age, because it's pretty clear when you're a child, this sensitivity. And a lot of times you're shy in school, or you're just you just feel things deeper, and so the child would be upset at things that the other 80% wouldn't be. And so these children would be taken aside, they would be put in a special school, they would be trained, and they would eventually become like the advisors to kings and emperors and things like that. But nowadays, we're just all grouped together, and you kind of have to figure it out on your own.
Well, listen, I read something in the research I was doing that Rh negative blood, which is like 1% of the population, that they also seem to be not a carrier. They have the genetic code for being highly sensitive and being an empath. And I was just wondering, are you Rh negative?
I am not. I'm actually O positive. So
That was just an interesting fact that percentage mm-hmm. does seem to carry that characteristic and trait. So I didn't know if there was a lot of studies done on characteristics of blood. I know they did that for like a book for dieting, the different blood
right.
types.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense that just certain blood types would have certain traits, but...
And I definitely think it is genetic, because I know my mother is highly empathic, and she was a nurse all her life, and unfortunately, she did not know what to do to kind of take care of her empathy and herself, and then she had 4 kids.
Oh, gosh.
All within 5.5, 5 years. So we were Irish quadruplets, and so I think that and her job, which she took on a lot of her patients. She's very compassionate, and unfortunately now she suffers from chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, a lot of these kind of mysterious illnesses
The draining of the energy.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
And it's so funny because I've gone. I mean, it's not funny. I mean, it's actual truth. I mean, my mom was in the medical field, so she wanted me to go into nursing, and I tried several times. When I got on the med surg floor, I mean, I literally hid in the closet because I felt every procedure I did to the patient, and I couldn't do it, so I thought I was just immature, and I went back and in my 30s to try to do it again, couldn't do it, and I still didn't understand what was laying the problem at it. But I mean, for her, I can see being a nurse and being an empath that literally has to just wear on your energy level.
Mm-hmm. And that's her whole issue right now, is she's 72 now, and it really has taken a toll. And so she's struggling with that, and, I try to help her as much as I can. But I think the key is, in the moment, an empath needs to remember who they are, and then make decisions that are going to be the best for them. So it's funny because my father, he was also parents are always our best and first teachers. And
yes.
My dad would always say to us, take care of number one, take care of number one. And I was like, yes, but what about all these other people who are, they need help and, care? And so he was, and he had had a very traumatic upbringing and background, but he was a survivor and learned what he needed to do. And he's also probably one of the most emotionally intelligent, has a high emotional IQ anyone I've ever met. And because he just has this ability to wake up in the morning and be singing. and I'm like, how do you do that? You didn't have yoga training, you didn't. And it's just, but it's, in many cases, he's blessed with a higher energy, but he's still very sensitive. But he knows what to do, kind of almost intuitively.
And balance it. He balances.
Yes. And balance it. Yeah.
And like you said, intuitively, because a lot of people like that, like we're talking about, they have no clue as to why they have these intense feelings. And like you said, people tend to tell them that, oh, you know, you just, you know, get over it. You're just overly emotional, you know. I mean, life goes on. It's not your problem. It's the other person's problem. But they're not feeling the intense emotion that the empath feels.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's important, you know, for them, for empaths and other people, you know, not to repress that emotion, not to stuff it down, which, you know, a lot of people are taught to do. But to feel it and watch it go by. But for empaths, it can be so overwhelming that they need to have kind of a toolbox in order to reach into and say, okay, what am I feeling? And one of the best things to do is when you find yourself in that situation, you immediately ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling, and is this mind? And you may not know. Sometimes you can't tell if it's yours because it may feel so present in your body that it feels like it's something. But I know with me, it is so bereft in some cases that I couldn't figure out. It only felt like it was mine until much later. And now I say, okay, is this mine? And sometimes that's enough to create a little bit of space and a little bit of distance, and you can say, okay, what's going on in my life right now that would make me feel this way? And if there's nothing, you have to say, okay, this might be from someone else. Let me do some either breathing exercises. Let me get outside. Usually what I do, because what works very well for me, is getting outside in nature, getting fresh air. If you're like at a party or something, you can go into a bathroom, run your hands under water, because water is a, you know, healing, cleaning mechanism. And just, you know, just kind of a quick remedy. I didn't know if you wanted to get into kind of
absolutely. We're getting ready to go to break in about 30 seconds. But I also heard people told me when I start having these weird feelings is to, like, think of the date. Did something occur on that date? Like, it was, you know, and I tend to block it out consciously, but subconsciously, no, that was, you know, the passing of so-and-so.
Or, right.
And, like you said, we're getting ready to go to break, but to be in tune, more cognizant of your feelings. And when we come back, maybe we can go into the different toolbox that can help empaths. I appreciate it, Dawn.
Okay,
KB.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they move forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Have you figured out what's not working in your business and why? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran was struggling with the same issue, so she hired other business coaches and experts to help her see what she couldn't. Her journey is to keep learning, and she is here to share this with you so that we can all keep working together. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm back with Davy Dawn Hamilton, the Inspired Empath. And we were just getting into, like, what kind of resources, if you do find yourself having these the characteristics and traits that are emotionally overwhelming you, which you kind of can be a magnet to other people and be an emotional sponge, which can be physically and emotionally debilitating. So I'm back with Davy. So what do you have in your toolbox, Davy?
Well, lots of different things. One of them I was saying is nature, and you know, sometimes you may not be near a park or something, so I say that with the understanding that not everybody has, you know, accessibility, but I always encourage empaths, you know, at least, you know, if you live in a city, at least once or twice a month, get out to a national park or a park of some sort to just kind of be near nature, because it really, really helps to lower your stress and your cortisol levels. I mean, it's good for everyone, but it's especially good for empaths, and so that's important.
What about having animals?
Absolutely, yes. Animals, empaths have kind of a natural draw towards animals, and so they oftentimes, like when I was little, I was very shy around people. I didn't know kind of how to talk to them, and so I would always gravitate to the pet in the house. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, having a pet or, you know, visiting a pet, really, really healing for empaths. And when I say healing, again, I want to make sure that I stress that being an empath, there's nothing wrong with you. It's simply that we're living in a world, even for, you know, regular folks, the world today is running at such a fast pace.
It's chaotic.
It is incredibly chaotic. So we need to also to slow down, and nature helps us to automatically slow down. You are in, like, I'm actually outside right now looking at the trees and the way the wind blows through the trees, and so you're just able to slow the pace. And for empaths, that's critical, because there's often so much coming at us, and we're trying to process it, that we're getting completely overwhelmed.
Let me ask you this. Does the medical community, do you know if the medical community, like maybe internal medicine or psychiatric, do they recognize this?
You know, I mean, Elaine Aaron, who's PhD, she does the work on highly sensitive people, and she's, you know, literally written the books, sensitive toolkits and like the highly sensitive person in love, and so she obviously recognizes it. And then Judith Orloff, who's another psychiatrist, she talks about empaths in her work. But, you know, other than those folks, it's when I was going through therapy, nobody ever talked to me about it. And it would have been nice on that first visit to say, oh, you're an empath. That's what's going on. Okay, we treat you this way. But that's not
and
happened.
Like I said, I mean, you were in a spiritual community. I mean, the person that I talked to was also, she was a massage therapist that did healing energy, which I didn't even know at the time. And I thought, what, she was like nuts, you know?
Right.
I mean, like, is years ago. And like, it's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And it wasn't years later that the picture formulated that. Oh, then, you know, when it got worse. But you're right, it's not recognizable. It's not like in the DSM-5 the psychiatric manual. Like you said, it's not an illness, but it should be recognized as, you know, as something that needs, you know, an outlet for healing.
Right. Right, because the being an empath itself is not a disorder. It's a temperament. It's your nature. It's almost like if you're gay and you have been trying your whole life to fit in, and you know, some, but like back in the 50s, and people got married to a heterosexual partner, then they were not living their true life. They were, you know, trying to put that square peg into the round hole. It's similar to empaths who don't know that they're empaths, so they're trying to live a life that is not their own, essentially, and it's painful. And so what we need to do is to be our authentic selves, and that is the healing part of it. It's, if we're living our authentic selves, there's no problem, but if we are trying to be someone we're not, that's where we get into trouble.
But I think the issue lies, I think we were just talking about, that the information in the medical community,
right,
psychiatric community is not out there.
Right, exactly.
To give this to the people, to let them know, you're not crazy. You're depressed because you don't know what to do with all this bombardment of emotion.
Right.
You know, that it's got to go somewhere. And
yes, it does. And so the other thing that in the toolbox that I tell people, it really is a lot of lifestyle choices. And, you know, one is to turn off that TV. Do not let that incoming news, because the reality is on the news programs, it's if it bleeds, it leads. It's all negative. And we just do not need to have that coming in at us, because empaths are already open receivers and we're already taking it in without even realizing it. We don't need to be putting ourselves in a situation where that negativity is coming blasting at us.
And you make a good point, because before, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have 24/7 news channels.
Right.
You know, we just had the local news at night, you know, and then the national news, but it wasn't 24/7. Now we're getting bombarded daily. You know, you go in the airport, CNN, Fox, whatever, it's always on. And I mean, so I think that's up the amps for empaths.
It absolutely has. And it has, you know, there's a chronic need for silence in this country and in the world. And that also, you know, it goes back to nature. Where can you go that you can get that silence? And so, and it may be different for different people. You know, it may be for you, it may be a church that is your place of solace and that you can get that silence. But for me, I really resonate with nature and it helps me. But it's finding that place where you can go, that you can have that silence, that you can have that ability to have your nervous system just calm down. The other thing I highly recommend as being a yoga therapist is the practice of yoga nidra.
Yoga nidra is
what is known as sleepless sleep. It's a guided meditation that you can be either laying down, usually it's done laying down, but you can also be sitting, you know, depending on your comfort level. And it is nothing short of miraculous.
Sleepless sleep. Okay. I'm still digesting that.
It is being used by the Veterans Administration to help with soldiers coming back and helping. It is the one thing that is really making progress with PTSD. Whoa. And it is, I used it after I learned that I was an empath, and I did it like every day. Now, the first 20 times I did it, I fell asleep immediately. But that's okay, because that means that your body needed that rest. You know, women in this country are chronically, chronically exhausted. And, you know, trying to be super moms, trying to, you know,
do it all.
Do their jobs, do it all. And so yoga nidra is, I recommend it so highly to everyone, but especially for empaths, because it is, is super healing.
Well, are we getting ready to go to break in about 2 minutes? But can you give us a little hint, like the procedure? I'm really confused about sleepless sleep.
Okay, sure. It's a guided meditation. So, and what I would do if I was doing it, it's a longer term meditation. So it's about 40 to 45 minutes, and I would guide you so that your mind doesn't have to do anything. You just listen to my voice, and then I would first do a body scan. So it almost sounds very mechanical at the beginning, like I would lead you through, you know, your feet and then your legs and hips and the whole body, and I would remind you that you're laying on the floor. And then I would start to go through the five levels of, you know, the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body.
You're talking about the chakras?
Not the chakras. This is called the koshas in yoga.
Oh, okay.
So it's more the levels of your body and spirit. So body, mind, and spirit. So you're going to the physical, the mental, the emotional, and then you're getting to the spiritual and kind of almost out of your body. So it's incredibly, incredibly healing. And there's a gentleman by the name of Richard Miller in California who's kind of taken the ancient practice and made it a little more modern, and he calls it eye rest, and that's what the VA is using because they didn't want it to be too yogic for the vets.
Too soft, too new agey.
So they made it a little bit more modern and put it into, you know, layman's terms in English rather than Sanskrit.
Well, that sounds wonderful. We're getting ready to go to break, and we come back. I definitely want to hear some more about this because people need to know what to do, and it's not out there, unfortunately. So we'll be back with Davey Dawn Hamilton. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves. And we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Master your reality and manifest your desires effortlessly. Listen to The Trivedi Effect to find out how raising your level of consciousness can totally transform every aspect of your life.
hosted by Mahendra Kumar Trivedi with Trivedi Master Alice Branton. Our program will spotlight the nearly 4,000 documented scientific studies that have proven the transformational impact of this energy extends beyond humans to all living and even non-living matter. Tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel or Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Get ready to experience a more fulfilling lifestyle. Tune in to Direct Connect Empowerment with host Fee Mazanke. The show will feature guests who have changed their lives by using the Direct Connect coaching program or have worked with the same concepts that this program offers. By hearing how others have been transformed, you will be inspired to move forward. Direct Connect Empowerment with Fee Mazanke can be heard live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, y'all. I'm so glad you still listen to me with my voice. But y'all are getting such wonderful information from the inspired empath, Davy Dawn Hamilton. And she was describing a technique that sleepless sleep that's used by the vets for PSTD. Is that right, PSTD? Or is it PSTD? I can't remember. But anyway, welcome back, Davy.
Sure, happy to be here.
I'm just so interested in this because in all my research, I haven't found this technique. So if you can, you know, tell us a little bit more.
Well, it's funny because I have been doing, you know, yoga training since about 1999, and they didn't teach me about being an empath. But I noticed that I felt better. And so for me at the time, in dealing with what I was dealing with, I was like, okay, if it works, it's going in my toolbox.
Okay.
Let me ask you
a real quick question. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know, yoga takes a lot of stamina, and some people that might have disabilities, would they still be able to do this?
Yes, absolutely. That's the beauty of yoga nidra. Yoga nidra has nothing to do with flexibility or strength. It is all about, you could be laying down in your bed and do yoga nidra. Or if laying down is not comfortable for you, you could be sitting in a chair. So it is something that is accessible to everyone.
Sort of sound like when you were describing it, like going from each body part, like a relaxation, like a hypnotherapy?
You know, it's funny because I have never gone under hypnotherapy, but I had a psychotherapist in the room one time when I was doing, giving a yoga nidra session, and she said to me, she asked me about hypnotherapy or how long I had been practicing hypnotherapy.
because I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and that's what you were sounding like. You know, you start mm-hmm. and you do relaxation from body part up. Is that, am I in the right direction? Is that what you're doing?
I do that first. The body scan is first, and so like I say, we start at the physical level, and then we would go into the emotions. and I might say, you know, look at, because by then you're relaxed. And then I might say, you know, observe an emotion that you might be feeling right now. It may be that you're not understanding what I'm saying and you're a little bit annoyed. Look at that emotion. And then go deep into that emotion, go as deep as you can, and then just observe it and leave it alone. Let's go to another place, and now I want you to get into contact with the opposite emotion. So if you're the opposite of annoyed, probably, I don't know, not overjoyed, but something in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I would kind of lead them through a pairing of opposite emotions, and so that they could notice that you can have an understanding and a witnessing of both emotions at the same time. So I think that part of it is a little bit different than hypnotherapy, because we really go deep into the emotional level, and then we go into the spiritual level. So there's really five levels that we go into, and then there's a kind of a planting of what we call the heart's felt desire. In yoga, we call it sankalpa, which means a resolve, and it may be to deal with a problem that you may be having, or it may be to fulfill a wish that you want to achieve, either a goal or a wish. And then I'll kind of plant that seed at the beginning of the practice and then revisit it at the end. So I think it's a little different than hypnotherapy, because there's quite a few layers.
Well, and that's almost like you were just saying about the Hawaiian, which I can never pronounce that name, Hoʻoponopono.
Right, Hoʻoponopono.
Okay, so it seems like, I mean, that all these ancient cultures have a deep understanding than what Western Western civilization medicine has, that it's practical, that, you know, scientific. If they can't read it or judge it, it's not there. But obviously all these techniques help people. And I just want you, we have like 3 minutes before we close, to be able to, you know, let people know like the capabilities, that you don't have to be in New Hampshire, all the different techniques that you can do, and how to contact you in the closing 3 minutes.
Sure. Yes, I take consultations by Skype or by phone. I like Skype, though, because I can show you some practices. I do a lot of work with mudras, which are hand gestures.
Can you tell me real shortly what a mudra is?
Sure. Like, one of the great ones for empaths is, and sometimes we do this naturally, is crossing your arms in front of your solar plexus. So
that's
that is a natural,
defensive.
It is a natural kind of protection against negative energy. For you know, lack of a better description. And we do it naturally. We're like, hey, something is out there that I don't like, and we just put that there. And so there's a more sophisticated level of it where you make your hands into fists and cross them over your chest or your heart. So it's kind of, you're protecting your heart from all that outside energy coming in. It's a real simple one. Anyone can do it. And it is mudras work on the subtle energy system that we have, and where empaths are so sensitive to all types of energies, and mudras are really effective.
That's pretty much vibrational, right?
Yes. Yeah, but that's what empaths are dealing with a lot of the times.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how many miles away you are from someone. If you have someone in your life that's going through an issue, I've had situations where I have felt their pain literally.
Absolutely. So with 1 minute to close, can you give everybody all your pertinent information?
Sure. So my website is inspiredempath.com. So the word inspired and then the word empath.com. And I recommend that everyone take the quiz there. It's kind of just a fun, you know, quiz that gives you a little information about yourself. And then you can scroll through, and there's all sorts of information on the site. I also have a Facebook page. If you, you know, go into Facebook and you just plug in the Inspired Empath, my Facebook page will pop up. And then my phone number is 808-446-6121. And my email is Davey, D-E-V-I, at inspiredempath.com.
Oh, it was such a pleasure, and I hope that you've given a lot of people some insight to, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. I mean, that's who you are, and there's tools, and there's people out there that you can reach to
yeah.
to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being my guest. Thank you, Davey.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure and
okay.
such an honor.
Okay, and you also have rope bass. You also have retreats in
yes,
Ireland.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm going to Ireland in the fall. That trip is full, but the but we have another one going in next June, probably late June, and we hike and also do some outdoor yoga, but gentle hiking, gentle yoga, and we visit sacred spaces. So we do a lot of meditation in sacred spaces. It's a really powerful, powerful mystical trip. And then I do also retreats on the island of Maui, so where we do some more. The Ireland one is obviously visiting the Celtic tradition, and then on Maui we do some Hawaiian spiritual practices.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for being my guest. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, bye everybody.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.